Hey, this is Daniel, aka Malgambes, and you're listening to Rushing Forward. This is a new podcast I'm working on where I'll take you on a journey most people in my age group or my peer group go through. And that's juggling trying to become an adult and trying to make something of your career. And I'll be talking to a bunch of interesting, awesome, rock star guests who will all be sharing our pitfalls, struggles, and achievements as we go through our adult lives. So I came up with the idea of this podcast because I was going through my own issues, and when you're going through certain things, you can feel like you're the only person going through them, and it's the worst thing in the world. And as I started to share a lot of these things, I started to realize that a lot of other people go through these things. So the idea basically is just to put these things out and be vulnerable in public so other people know that these are things everyone goes through and these are things that need to be talked about. These are things that you get through and get over. So I'm not sure how long this podcast will last because I don't know if adulting has a destination. But I'm definitely on the journey, and I'm hoping to take everyone who's listening with me. And for the first episode, welcome everyone who's listening. I could not think of a better guest than a very dear friend of mine, Fishwa, to come talk about what we are going through, because I think we are sort of going through this. A little bit about Fishwa. She is a tech speaker slash web developer on her DevRel journey. And according to her, she secretly wishes she could call herself a writer, but I do know she's such an amazing writer. Something she's so passionate about is infusing empathy and kindness in the tech space. And you can see that through her and her energy. And she's working on creating and fostering welcoming communities with the culture of inclusivity and diversity. Hi, Vishwa.
Hi. Wow, I'm smiling. Thank you so much for that kind introduction.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I butchered it, but I
I
think I did okay.
think you covered most. You did a better job than I do of introducing myself, so I'll give you that.
Yeah, writing stuff like that sucks. I'm very bad at describing myself. So I want to start out with asking a question that many people ask, but I think it's very important to ask it. It's like genuinely, not like in a small talk type of way. How are you doing?
Oh, that is such a heavy question. but like from my voice currently, it is so obnoxiously nasal. You can definitely tell that I have a flu. I'm currently recording. So that is a very, very instant status for you. But in general, I feel like I'm doing well. I am currently in a very introspective mode. So there's a lot going on in my head. Some days I don't feel like getting out of my bed, but some days I'm exuberant and full of energy. So there's just so much going on in my head all the time. But in general, I'm doing well. I feel very satisfied with where I am right now in my life because there's so much that I feel I can do, and I have finally started doing all those things. So I'm good.
That makes one of us at least. A bit of context, Vishwa and I went to university together, and I think technically we just graduated because the thing was in November and this is January 2020, so that's like 2 months, barely a month after. And straight out of college you want to go and you want to do all these big things, you have ideas of changing the world, and then reality hits you in the face
Is a
really
phrase.
hard. How was graduating for you?
See, like the amount of silence after that question really tells a lot about that. But graduating, as you said, graduating was a very wild phase because while I was in college, I constantly felt like I was being pressured and tormented by a lot of things. And I only felt that way because I did not know how it would feel to graduate, to actually come out of college and face the reality of the world. And when I did that, I instantly felt like college was kind of a second home. And it was, despite everything that was not nice, it was still very comfortable. And graduating was, it felt like stepping out of your comfort zone, you know, stepping out of your home and going into the real world that's out there and facing the harsh realities. And I'm not even trying to exaggerate things and be like poetic and whatnot, because that's exactly how it felt like. I remember that we had our convocation in November, and I did not even go to my convocation because that's how overwhelming
Same.
it was. I mean, for different reasons though. You were not there, right? But
I
it
think if I
was,
wanted to be there, I
I've
think I could have made something happen. I don't
been.
know. I just felt like I did need that. I don't know, but yeah,
But
we didn't go.
yeah, we didn't go. We both didn't go. When we were about to start this, it was so weird. I was like, is he going to pretend that this is the first time that we're actually conversing with each other because he wants to ask
No.
me questions for the audience? Or are we going to acknowledge the fact that we've known each other for like what, more than 4 years? That's so
Don't know. I
crazy.
mean, of course, it is.
So yeah, graduating was very overwhelming, but it was also sort of freeing and very liberating. Despite of all those overwhelming sensations, because now I finally had the chance to discover myself and sort of explore all the options that I have, go out and socialize with people. I mean, not that I did not have that chance back in college, but now I really had that time to myself to sort of, you know, like think about the things that I really want to do, the things that I kind of felt like I did not have the time in college for. So it was definitely freeing. I started giving myself more time to explore, started giving myself more time to connect with people, to travel more. So it's definitely very liberating.
Yeah, it has been very liberating. A lot of people like to describe college and university as like a bubble. And graduating is like, because like that bubble is, you can call it protecting. And then the harsh realities of the world are really harsh. And a lot of people feel, and I feel the same also. I feel like universities and these institutions don't do enough to sort of get you ready for what you're going to get yourself into after you're out of this bubble. And I feel like a month or so, I had this idea of how my life would be when I'm out and when I'm done. And coming to terms with that not being reality can be like a slap in the face, and it's not really easy to get through and get past. And so I mean, like, to go deeper into coming out of college, you feel like you should get your dream job, or many people want to go for like a master's program. And for me, it was job hunting and interviewing with like a bunch of companies, because I think we did quite a bit in college. And I mean, you'd expect the ramp into society to be
Smooth.
like easy, or smooth. And it wasn't. And how has that been for you?
I mean, the reason being that I feel like we put a lot of expectations into it, like right after college. I personally built this mental model of how it was going to be after graduating. And that's, and I was expecting a lot. And that's why maybe the ramp that you said, the metaphorical ramp into the society, was not as smooth as we expected it to be. But at the end of the day, I still feel like the trick is to be okay with any or all failures that you face or the struggles that you face. If you just keep on being as expectant as you were, it's definitely going to be very nerve-wracking. But it's important to realize that the expectations that we had are not being met because they were too high, maybe. And this is the reality. No matter how harsh, it's still okay. It's still normal. It's something that everyone goes through when they come out of college, or, you know, just in general, when they kickstart their own careers. And for me, personally, since you mentioned, a lot of people consider going for higher studies, like further studies, masters and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, like, it has been a journey for me personally, because I remember back in 2018, like December 2018, I was so hell-bent on the idea of doing my master's from USA. And at that time, I really just felt like that's it. I need to get into my dream college.
Like, that's all you want.
Yeah, that's yeah. all I want. And that's the best thing that could happen to me. And if it doesn't happen, I'm just going to be lost. And now when I think about it, let's just say December 2019. I thought about it in December 2019, and I was laughing at the fact that I felt it was all I could ever do, like the best thing that could happen to me, because it changed so fast. The journey of going from wanting to do, like, pursue my master's to what I'm currently doing was very, you know, like, very crazy. It was something.
What are you currently doing? I'm curious to let everyone know.
To let everyone know. I like
to
that.
Know myself.
All right. So I'm just going to generalize this. I'm doing a lot of things. As I said, coming out of college, it was liberating because I started doing all the things that I really wanted to do. So I'm doing a lot of things, and I'm exploring all the things that I can do and would love to do. But in general, I'm just exploring myself. Like, I'm redefining myself and trying to figure out who I actually am at my core.
Yeah.
So that's a very general answer. But since I'm not very satisfied with my answer, I'm just going to say that I'm going to travel a lot. I started traveling after graduating. So traveling for conferences, networking with people, involving more into communities, like tech communities outside of my local community, and doing a bunch of tech writing, tech documentation gigs, looking for a job. So that's also something that I took up right after college. I'm applying for DevRel positions at startups, specifically community facing startups.
Jessica Rose posted like a tweet a few days ago, and she asked what your dream job would be and at what company. What's yours? Shameless plug, feel free. You can spill out your whole resume. Who knows?
Definitely. I would love to see something good come out of this shameless plug. I always say this to everyone that my dream job is Gatsby. And I know that a lot of people say that their dream job is Gatsby, and I'm not going to, you know, say that that's a very basic answer, because it's an excellent answer. Like, the people who have their dream job at Gatsby know their thing. Like, they definitely know their stuff. And I really, the thing that appeals to me the most about working at Gatsby is the team and their core values and how much they actually align with my own values. So,
and
the amazing stuff that they're doing for the community, and it's completely open source. So being an open source enthusiast myself, valuing the importance of communities and open source, and Gatsby understands what diversity, inclusive, like the terms diversity, inclusivity, and empathy mean in essence. So I feel like that is like working with the Gatsby team is going to be the one thing that I'm aiming for. And it's definitely my dream job.
I like that you mentioned and that you gave a very detailed answer, because actually I don't like it, because like I feel bad about saying my dream job is at Spotify, because I just like Spotify. And I replied to that thread actually, and
I saw that.
Someone commented and it was like, they're a great company and they don't really pay that well though, because they're famous and they use that to their advantage. But there's like some like small, how do I say this? There's small pieces or small, like, what do you call it? a group of something. Like small facets of some, like, for lack of a better word, toxic culture. And
okay,
I think it takes me into something that I've been thinking about. Working in tech, I don't even know how I can describe my work in tech, because like, you know, there's like a bunch of people, and I started working in tech, I guess, before graduating. And I think it's been about almost 2 years. It's going to be 2 years soon, I guess, in general. And like going through all that time, you start to discover that a lot of the people you idolize and a lot of the companies you idolize aren't as good as
you thought
as they
are.
Not just the companies, even the people you idolize. And I like that your dream company has things like empathy and inclusivity and diversity, because I know that's a huge problem in tech these days, and there's so many people are trying to make that better for, you know, underrepresented groups. But I think it takes me into this veil that tech has, where a lot of people are sort of bewitched by all the good that it brings and really try and forget the bad. How do you deal with that? I know it's been a struggle for me.
It's definitely a struggle, and from a point of view of someone who is applying for jobs currently, it's even more difficult, because you are, you know, like you're not just holding an opinion for a company or for a team. You're actually applying to that team. So any opinion that you hold, if it's true, you're going to be met with a lot of expectations, like how am I going to fit in this role? Like, I'm going to interview for it. Am I going to get this job or not? So there's just so many thoughts after it, because it's such an amazing opportunity. So you don't want to lose it. So there's that pressure of not losing that opportunity. And not screwing up your interview. But just imagine the opinions that you had turning out to be wrong and not exactly as you expected. So there is that shock of the reality, you know, like, oh, okay, this is not what I thought.
Like you've been through some really bad interviews.
I've had my fair share of good and bad interviews both. And I'm grateful. I cannot lie. Like, I literally cannot lie. I'm grateful for both of them, like both the kind of experiences that I've had. because if it wasn't for the bad interviews, I really wouldn't know how difficult it is to appear for tech jobs right out of college. And also, I wouldn't be able to acknowledge how difficult it is to hire really talented folks. Like, let's not just forget that the people on the other side, the people who are interviewing you, who are assessing you, are human beings too. So if it is difficult for you to appear for an interview, it's just as difficult for them to talk to you and like figure out if you're a good fit for their company or if you could contribute to the best of your abilities and stuff like that. Like, talent hiring is just a very heavy job, and it holds such responsibility, like such great responsibilities. So I feel like both the good and the bad experiences kind of made me realize that it's just about realizing that everyone is a human being and everyone commits mistakes, and it's okay as long as you can learn and just bounce back from those mistakes and make something good come out of it the next time. So it has been great, but you talked about, you know, like the issues in tech and the issues with tech jobs and the tech job hunt. And I feel like a lot of fear comes about the job hunt because of this mental model that that if you start, you're going to fail and you're just going to lose hope and just end up being demotivated. So there are definitely times that you're just going to attach yourself. See, this is a very personal, very, you know, like very opinionated story of my own. So when I first started appearing for interviews, the biggest problem for me was I am just a very emotional person, even when it comes to my professional life and my career. So I'm just such an excited applicant. Like, when you talk about people who apply for jobs, I'm so excited. I'm so passionate about something. It's very it's very easy for me to attach myself to things that I research about the company, to their values,
and
to
the
their
team also.
Yeah, to the team, to what they're working on. If there's a product that they're working on and it's amazing, I'll be like, oh my god, I really want to work on that product. And then before I could think, I go to sleep at night dreaming about that job and dreaming about working with that team and how amazing it is. And it's just so nerve-wracking to know that you, like, there is a huge possibility that you're not going to be selected for that role. And for me personally, the problem that I faced was to start again after a rejection. So that was something that I'm still coming to terms with, like rejections and how long you should give. Like, it's definitely very important to give yourself a break. So it's very important for us to figure out how much time we need after a rejection or after a very tedious interview process, to hop on to another one and just like be just as passionate and as excited about the another role as we were previously.
Yeah, I struggled with the same thing actually. Rejections generally in everything are something everyone has a hard time dealing with. Yeah. And I had this conversation with someone, and they reopened up my eyes. Uh-huh. And after they told me that we fear rejection, and rejection hurts us the most because we attach it to emotion.
Yeah.
So when we are interviewing and when we're applying for jobs, I think it's important to have a goal in mind. It might be different for different people. And I think when you disassociate the goal from the company, maybe the goal is to be employed by a company with a certain value set or a certain tech stack, then rejection doesn't hit hard because you don't see yourself as missing out on the values, which you can find in another company or another team or with another set of people, and you really just gauge your reaction, not your reaction, sorry, your response. I just learned apparently that reaction is in the moment and response is thought through. And if you gauge your response to that rejection and don't internalize it and just look at it as a step in your journey towards acquiring or being and achieving your goal of being in a place where in a company with those values or where your goal can be achieved, then you tend to take rejection better. And I know I say it in like a certain way, but like I'm not the best at practicing it. And I think practice is important when it comes to stuff like this,
mm-hmm.
because I mean, you don't want to get rejected so often because like rejections hurt.
Yeah.
But as more come, you start to get used to it, and I think you don't internalize them as much. I know tech hiring is a mess, and I think it's the tech equivalent of this meme. You know, there's like people who say my crush texted me back and I'm imagining our wedding already.
Yeah.
So it's like you just go through the first interview round and you're imagining yourself at your nice office.
Yeah.
And you know, talking to the team.
And I can't lie for me. And everything.
Exactly.
So.
Like I can't lie for me. I'm dreaming about like all the stuff that I'll be doing.
Yeah.
It's like my paycheck. Because like I know for me like something big is becoming more independent and moving out and trying to live life the way I see fit,
mm-hmm.
and like in the face of rejection, it's like you're being told no, you can't have what you want. And I think it's like stuff's got better for me from looking at it as you can't have what you want to you get what you want, but maybe try somewhere else.
Or maybe not just now. Maybe you need to give it more time and respect your own pace, you know, your own progress. So that's definitely, I agree with you. That's definitely something that I advise other people to, like other peers, other juniors, when we talk about job hunting and like how to take rejections positively. The trick is to not take anything too personally. Like, there should be an extent to how personally you take it. The extent is like the line is where you can, you know, you can make it just personal, like personal enough to improve yourself and not get demotivated, mm-hmm. on the other hand. So that's definitely, and I think another advice along the same lines that I would want to give to someone who is starting to apply for jobs is to it's definitely good to have a dream job. There's nothing wrong in it, but never put all of your expectations, all of your happiness into this one company or one role that you really want to achieve, because then it's just going to make it harder. So I'd suggest realizing your own values and knowing what you want to do, rather than realizing what kind of company you want to work for, or like what exact company you want to work for, stuff like that. Because see, when you realize your own values and what you want to do, it's more of an internal thing. And anything that's internal is not as disappointing. If you put your expectations, your happiness, and your success in something that is transient and external, there's always that chance, mm-hmm. of disappointment and hurt. So I always tell people that one key part of me growing as a human being was realizing that sometimes we put our happiness into the hands of other people, or maybe we put our success and our growth in the hands of external entities, and that's why we end up not being happy. So instead of doing that, I started doing whatever gives me happiness. So my end goal is always doing something that gives me joy and not doing something specific, you know, That's nothing specific is a goal for me anymore, because that something specific could be something very temporary, and then you're just going to feel lost when you can't achieve that. So
yeah, I definitely agree. Although lately I've been having a lot of thoughts around the word happiness, and I feel like using the term happy or saying and aspiring for happiness is self-defeating the wrong word? I feel like it's bad, because it paints this fairy tale of life always being mellow and joyful. And yeah. I think lately I'm trying to aspire for contentment and joy, but also embracing the moments that I lack those things.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't lack them, they wouldn't be as you wouldn't cherish them as much.
Yeah.
And I think embracing the times where I don't feel as content, or I don't feel as positive on a spectrum of sad and happy, and I switching between both, trying not to be too sad and letting sad affect everything I'm doing, like the sadness affect everything I'm doing, but also really just cherishing the happy more, because then I appreciate it because I'm not sad. And I think with my growing up and with my journey and everything, I think I'm starting to chase contentment and just living in the happiness when I have it and enjoying it. And I know, like, for me, one thing that's definitely been hard is social media, and I've been off so many times because they say comparison is the thief of joy. How has social media been for you?
I have, see, again, this is a very personal opinion based on a very personal story. So yeah. Social media has had a very positive impact in my life. There's definitely that time when I really just want to shut everything off, and I don't want to stay as connected as usual. But if you talk about my current status, I don't have a mobile phone because I lost it in London, and I don't really want to buy another one because I'm so happy this way. I just check stuff on my laptop whenever I have the time for it, or during my work hours, and I'm okay with it, because it's in my opinion, it's more about your priorities and where you are currently in your life. Like right now, I'm just redefining myself. I'm learning to take care of myself, putting myself first, unapologetically shutting out bad energies and negative people from my life. So social media has had very different kinds of impact in my journey. It started off as a very positive impact in the start of 2019, because I wasn't a very social person, be it online or offline. Because of my involvement with tech communities and the student developer communities in my college time, I learned how to be more social and come out of my comfort zone in real life. But then what about my presence online? It was becoming increasingly more and more important to create this brand, like this personal brand, because we were approaching the time of building a career, like pursuing a career in tech. And then I started spending more time on Twitter. And Twitter was my first introduction to the online tech community, and amazing people, developers and tech speakers and tech writers, people who shared the same kind of interests as me, and common goals, common ideas and stuff like that. And I felt so seen. Like, I had never felt so heard and seen before. And that was just so, it was a very positive feeling. And if you would go back to my Twitter sometime in the start of 2019, you would see me as this super excited person who is like realizing a lot of stuff, and they're just so full of energy. And I do like to believe I'm still that person. But like, that was a different time, and now is a different time. I would definitely like to spend less time on social media. So the bottom line is, social media is great. It can do wonders for you, but you need to set boundaries for yourself so that it doesn't, you know, impact you negatively. Because you need to be very aware of your mental health and your well-being. And social media can build this wrong image of things, like, impressions that are not true about people, about places, about things. And you just end up being in a very severe case of imposter syndrome, and you just start doubting everything. You're like, I'm not as good as them. Wow, they have such an amazing life. They're going to so many conferences, so many places. And it's probably not all true. So you need to set those boundaries about what kind of an impact social media can have in your life. And that's very important.
Right, very true. Because like before, like when I used to watch so many people go to conferences and speak at places, and I was like, wow, they must have it all together. And then I started doing something similar. And then like I know me, I'm broke.
Yeah.
I'm very jobless, freelancing. And like my image was like, oh, it's all perfect for them, but like slowly that starts to fade away.
And now that we're in their place, we're just like, oh no, we don't have it all together. So maybe even they don't have it all together, and we were under the wrong impression.
And like, you just start to roll with it. I like that you talked about personal branding. And I feel like today, everyone wants someone with a personal brand, because you see everyone buying domains, you have like a top dev, you have like your own portfolio. How important has personal branding been for you, and how have you approached that?
Personal branding has definitely been very important to me. Again, as I said, I did not have a huge social presence online. And so I started realizing the importance of personal branding as a developer when I started pursuing my career in tech, I started applying for jobs and talking to people about the role that I'm applying for and the things that I would love to work on. Why it is so important is that when you connect with people online, it's like 90% of the time, the person has no idea about you. They can only see if they go to your Twitter handle, or if they go to your GitHub or LinkedIn or whatever, they can only see what you show them. So it's very important what you show them. And what they see is your personal brand. And it has to be very consistent with the kind of person you are. It should tell the story about you. When they go to your profile, they should actually see if they are a potential recruiter, they should see the value that you can provide to their company or their team.
This is an expert on personal branding, by the way.
I am really not. I've just spent a lot of time struggling with it, I guess. So,
your brand? What's your personal brand?
I'm so speechless. Anyways, my personal brand has to be me as a human being. That's my personal brand. Like, I like to think that anyone who comes to my handle anywhere, they should be able to see the kind of human I am before they see the kind of work that I like to do. Because I truly believe that we need to embrace ourselves as human first before we put more value into the kind of work that we do, and before we get known for the kind of work we do. Because we're all, in the end, we're all humans. So if we don't identify each other as the kind of person we truly are, and our human and our core human values, we're definitely not going to identify ourselves as the professional we are, right? So my personal brand is definitely the person that I am, in essence. And I like to think that I'm just a very empathetic person and someone who is always ready to help people, someone who is always, thinking about other people and how to make things easier for them. I'm just a very thoughtful person. So that's definitely my personal brand. And another reason why I like to make my brand to be the human I am is because life is so unpredictable. I don't know the kind of work that I would be doing 5 years from now. Right now, I might brand myself as a React developer, or maybe a tech documentarian, or maybe an artist. But I really don't know what I'm going to take up in the future years, like in the upcoming years. So then there has to be this anchor that kind of tethers me to who I really am, so that I can keep the kind of work that I do can keep on changing, but the brand still stays intact and it still stays consistent with who I really am. So that's that. I'm not sure if that answers your question well.
Yeah, it sort of does. I feel like you answering this question was you expressing your personal brand in some way. I don't know if that makes sense. I've had my fair issues with personal branding because I was very deliberate with the way I did social media for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not anymore. And I don't do it as much and I don't enjoy it. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like on a high level, it can be me trying to break apart this personal brand that I don't think I deliberately built it, but it was definitely there and it was starting to affect who I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to affect me as a person, and I'm like, I shouldn't feel pressured to do anything. I'm not getting paid for it. Let me just do me.
So yeah.
Now I guess like my online presence is all over. I mean, there's this podcast, there's tech stuff I do, there's the writing I do, there's the music stuff I do. And like, I feel like I'll steal your personal brand and say my personal brand is being me as a person.
Yeah. I mean,
which it
kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Because tech, when it, like, in my opinion, when it comes to tech, I am a developer myself and I love doing tech stuff. But it's something that I like doing. It's not who I am. And when people try to make that as part of their branding, other people just, you know how entitled people are, or they can be, you know? So like when you create that kind of an online presence, people are just going to, come in and tell you that, hey, aren't you supposed to be a developer? How come you posted a selfie on there? Like, you're not allowed to do that. Or like, how come you're sharing your art pieces or your hand lettering pieces every now and then? Like, that's not the kind of content that we want to see. Just show us some code. And in my head, I just can't be more frustrated by that. Because, that sort of entitlement is just so unhealthy. And so it's your responsibility to put yourself out there as the person you really are, and not just make yourself about this one thing or this one technology that you like working on, or the kind of day job that you have. You know, it's very important to do that, because then people can't tell you what to do. Online, you can do whatever you really enjoy doing in your own time. Because that's your personal brand. When someone asks me, I just say that I like to help people. I like to help people achieve their goals. If it is tech speaking, I like to help beginners start with tech speaking. I help them with CFPs and slides and their talk presentation, whatnot. If they want to get a job, I help review their resumes and build their website and their personal brand and whatnot. So that's who I really am. That's the kind of thing that I love doing. I am a thoughtful, an empathetic person. So accessibility, diversity, inclusivity are some things that I really care about. So that reflects in my work, and that's okay. Like, it's okay to kind of sprinkle some, some flavors in your brand, the flavors of the kind of work that you like to do. So that, I'm not saying that go completely vague, and just don't say anything about yourself. Don't, just go ahead and generalize yourself. I'm not saying that, because it's still important that we still need jobs. We still need gigs. We still need money. We still need that, we still need to be able to pay our tuition fees and stuff like that. So I'm not saying that just generalize yourself. I'm saying that it's okay to sprinkle some aspects of the kind of work that you do in your personal brand, but just don't make yourself about this one thing that people are going to come up to you for. Just be who you are.
True. And I think I like, a lot of my struggles last year were not wanting to be put in a box because of all the other things that I found out that I enjoyed doing. And I feel like mostly tech, I guess, people like to box people and just say, this is one specific thing that you do and you shouldn't do anything else. But like, yeah, that's entitlement. And I think as a generation, we are very entitled. And that's a whole other episode. I'm trying to get Gift and Obina to come and do this. So like, if you're listening, you two have to get on. But yeah, I mean, like, personal branding is important, but it shouldn't come at the expense of your mental health. And I think you should, like you said, it's important to view yourself as a person first.
Yeah.
Before you get into anything.
Definitely.
And like, going forward, I'm interested to know what 2020 looks like for you.
Like, personally, in my personal relationships and stuff like that, in my personal life, or as a professional?
In general, what are things that are important to you that you want to do or achieve this year?
As I said, that I'm redefining myself. Currently, I feel like for some very obvious reasons, currently I feel a bit lost because I cannot be who I really want to be. So my aim is to be at a place where I can feel independent enough and free enough to be who I really want to be, to do the things that I would really want to work on, and would really like to enjoy in my own time without any restraints. So that's a personal goal, and it kind of extends to my career too. I'm still exploring a lot of things. I'm definitely applying for several jobs, but I'm keeping myself open to a lot, because as I said, it has been a long journey. Like, for instance, just to give you a taste of what my wild and long journey looked like, I got a rejection and I rejected a job in the same week. So it's
yeah, that can be tough.
Yeah, it has been tough. And like, it's just a lot to digest. So I'm not putting a lot of pressure on myself. So 2020 is going to be me, endlessly trying to get in a place, like move out, first of all. Move out of the place that I'm currently living in. It's not that I hate it. It's not that I dislike it or there's something wrong with it. It's just that I want to surround myself with new people and in a new place and in a new culture just to like step out of my comfort zone. So that's 2020 for me. But to be more specific, in my work, I really want to work towards becoming. For some reason, I don't like to say accessibility advocate, because then people come in and tell you that, oh, what do you know about this? You don't know enough. You just started and stuff like that. So I'd like to say that I want to learn more about accessibility and teach people more about accessibility. And of course, being empathetic and teaching people about the importance of diversity and inclusivity in our communities. So that's going to be my 2020 journey.
That definitely is very empathetic of you. I feel I don't really have my 2020 mapped out. My 2020 is like, I have this thing that is going to be like my mantra. Okay. It's not that deep. Like, I know a lot of 2019 was overthinking a lot. Uh-huh. I'll just take everything as it comes, stride by stride. And on that note, it's been great chatting. We can talk forever. There's so much I think that we can talk about when it comes to like career-wise, just growing up and adulting.
Yeah.
But I think we'll have to end it here. Is there anything that you'd like to plug? Your Twitter, your blog, your anything? Shamelessly, of course. Feel free.
I mean, yes, of course. My Twitter is everything that I have right now and everything that I want to be on. So if you want to come to my Twitter, come say hi. If you need help with anything, just DM me at VishwaMehta30. And some advice that I would like to end this with is that just take care of yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Your first priority should be you, and you should be less apologetic for putting yourself first, you know? So make sure that you're taking care of your mental health and personal well-being before jumping onto anything else. There's no need to rush. There's a lot of time to do stuff. So just make sure that you're mentally stable to jump into things, and realize your priority, and just keep your balance.
That's very awesome. I couldn't have said it better myself. thank you so much, Vishwa.
Yeah, it has been amazing. Thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Ciao.
Bye.